Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So I am broadcasting, as we've been saying, from Denver, Colorado. I'm with KUVOK VJZ here in Colorado for the next 2 days.
That's not funny.
That part is not funny.
That's serious.
But here's a little known fact about Colorado. Okay, lots of people come here for skiing, right? They have rodeos in this area. But
sure.
You may not know that Colorado is the humor research capital of the world. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. The land of JonBenet Ramsey would be the humor capital of the world? Wow.
That was a low blow.
That was a low blow,
John.
Denver,
and I'm going to ask my next guest if it was even funny. But Peter McGraw is here with us. He's an assistant professor of marketing and psychology at the University of Colorado Boulder. That's not why we're speaking to you today, Peter. We're speaking to you because you're the director of the school's humor research lab, which I should say is HURL.
Yeah, the acronym is HURL.
That's
First
funny.
Of all, That is funny. Let me ask you. I mean, how did you get into this? Did you just hear somebody tell a joke someday, and it struck you as funny, and you thought, I got to find out why I thought that was funny? I mean, how did you start doing this?
I've always been a fan of humor, as most of us are. But actually, I came about this from an unusual angle. I do research in part on moral judgments, and I was giving a talk about how immoral behavior causes people to be angry and disgusted and distressed. And I was motivating that talk with an example of a church that was raffling off an H2 Hummer SUV to a lucky member of its congregation. And the academics that I was giving this talk to laughed, slapped their knees, laughed, and thought this was hilarious. And someone in the audience called me on it, raised their hand, and said, hey, you say that moral violations cause anger and disgust, and we're laughing. Why? And
you said, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I'm going to spend the next, 10 years of my life finding out.
And I'm 2.5 years into it.
Well, some of the things that kind of strike me as funny is the way that, you're researching humor and you've come up with these sort of technical terms. And I'm wondering if it's maybe to make your humor, your research sound a little bit, more official. But I want to play you a little clip of something you said at a recent talk you gave at TED. Okay. So this is you speaking at TED.
In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand up, turn to someone you don't know, and begin tickling that person. Although some of you may find this request slightly terrifying, many of you are clearly amused.
So what you talk about there is a benign violation theory.
That's right.
That's a very technical term.
Yeah, we call it the BVT occasionally. But yeah, the benign violation theory builds on work by Thomas Veitch, who was a linguist who had a theory of humor. And Caleb Warren and I made some changes to it to, I think, make it make sense to the average person a little bit more.
And Veitch was such a chucklehead.
Benign violation meaning you're violating someone's personal space or their whatever, but it's not going to hurt them.
Well, yeah, and that can be one instance of it. So a benign violation causes humor because, in ways, because there's some violation. It violates a norm, a social norm, a cultural norm, a moral norm, maybe even just as sort of a threatening situation. Something seems wrong or threatening in some way. So that's the violation part of it. But at the same time, the person who's going to find it humorous also sees how the situation's safe, acceptable, or okay, or as we say, benign.
Okay.
So there's many ways something can be a violation, and there's many ways that same violation can be benign or okay.
Okay, so that's why the audience laughed when you said you were going to make them tickle. But our listeners, we had a listener send in their jokes, because we were telling them to send their jokes, and you'd tell them why it was funny or not.
Okay. I'll do my best.
So here we have a joke from one of our listeners. Go ahead and play this one.
My name is Cheryl. I'm calling from Wappingers Falls. And my joke is, this giraffe walks into a bar and says, the highballs are on me.
Funny?
So Wappinger Valley, wherever, that's funny to me.
It is funny.
The place.
To you.
No,
oh,
I'm
you
kidding.
Thought the name was
the
name, funny.
Yeah, the town.
So giraffe jokes are less funny in Flint, Michigan, funnier in Wappingers Falls.
Indeed.
Maybe it'd have to be a height place.
Well, so I think this is actually a nice example of showing how humor can fail.
Right.
And so for something to be funny, if it's a benign violation, you have to recognize the violation. So the violation should be clear. It should be wrong or threatening in some way. So when you don't have that, jokes are boring. The reverse, though, can happen too. When it's just a violation and you can't see how it's benign, a joke can fail also. It's what we call a malign violation. You're just upset or you're just offended by it.
Right. Now,
so
okay.
That's the difference between a busload of kindergartners goes over a cliff, not funny, busload of chickens goes over a cliff, that's funny. Or
Peter.
Maybe not.
Well, yeah.
He thinks deeply about these things, John.
I know. That's the problem with being an academic. Like, it takes me weeks to come to answers rather than moments.
Yeah, weeks to come to answers. That's not funny.
It's not good for radio.
No, that's not. But let me play you something that maybe some people have pointed to as going over the line.
Okay.
This is actually Sarah Silverman, who many people think steps over the line. But, you know, there's often these jokes that turn something, make something funny that we would never laugh about. The
right.
Kindergartners going over that, most people say not funny. But this also, this is a clip of Sarah Silverman. This was featured on the website Funny or Die. And she's singing to a group of elderly people in an old folks' home. Hit humor too, Jay.
You're gonna die soon. You're gonna die soon. It's not cold in here. You're just dying. You're gonna die soon.
Okay, so I don't think it's funny. To you know, of old people reaching the end of life.
That's great.
But I laughed.
I love that.
Yeah.
When I watched this.
So we actually talk about, in the lab, we talk about the Silverman strategy of humor.
Really?
Yes. And the reason we do it is that Sarah takes really huge violations, right, talking to old people about dying, and she has an uncanny ability to make it benign, in part because she's cute and singing and saying it in this sort of cute way. I have a feeling if I were saying it in my voice and my way, yeah, people would be offended.
All right, so let me give you one of my son's jokes, and you can, this is his joke, my son Grant. Okay, he came up to me and said, okay, why did the cowboy buy a dachshund?
I don't know, why?
Because someone told him to get along, little doggy.
That's great.
Okay, so that's good.
Yeah,
it's just a pun.
Yeah, puns are a nice example of the benign violation theory. And the reason is there's a violation of some language convention, rule, or norm, but there's another reason, another convention, rule, or norm that can explain it. And so,
okay,
it
so
works.
John, you just heard the humor expert. He's okaying all your terrible puns.
Well, here's the thing I want to know, though. Is it funnier if you go, get a long little doggy, or if you go, because he wanted to get a long little doggy?
The former works better.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go.
Because
Grant's
it's delivery.
The man.
Yeah.
The delivery. And that helps with this idea of simultaneity, that you can see both the violation and make it
and
okay.
Right.
Can you say simultaneity again?
Simultaneity.
That's so great.
Peter McGraw is the director of the Humor Research Lab. That's HURL here at the University of Colorado. If you have a joke you want to share with us, head over to our Facebook page and post it at facebook.com/thetakeaway. And I am Celeste Headley at KUVO in Denver.
I'm John Hockenberry in New York. This is The Takeaway.